In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When someone is ordained a priest, the responsibilities of their role are articulated in the prayer book as follows. As a priest, it will be your task to proclaim by word and deed the gospel of Jesus Christ and to fashion your life in accordance with its precepts. You are to love and serve the people among whom you work, caring alike for rich and poor, young and old, strong and weak. In all that you do, you are to nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace and strengthen them to glorify God in this life and in the life to come. I had little idea on that December day in 2015 when those very words were read from these very steps at my ordination to the priesthood just how powerful and fulfilling it would be to become a priest in your midst. I know now what I knew only the beginnings of then, that St. John's is a special place. It was before I got here, and it will be after I leave. And it has been an honor to serve here. You are a community of people who really love this church and have for a long time. Some of you, two times as long as I've even been alive. As one of our longtime parishioners said to me on Wednesday night, you know, I love this place so much that every time I drive by, I wave. I deeply appreciate that level of affection and love, and I have tried to honor it for the times our paths aligned. I particularly have always valued the great privilege of preaching from this illustrious pulpit and try to give you offerings worthy of your attention. You have many choices for who and what you spend your time listening to in your life, and I never once took for granted that you listened to me with such open hearts and open ears. Add to this the joy I found in teaching, particularly our young people, the depth of spirit I was privy to in our pastoral conversations, be they in my office or a hospital room or your living room, the chance to absolve and bless, to baptize and bury, and to keep you fed from Christ's table for the journey in between, and there is no work I would rather do and no better place to have done it. It has been a blessing in the fullest sense of that word. And so as I take my leave of you today, I want to try to give you something in return for all that you have given me. Or not really in return, for that would be an impossible task. But perhaps to reflect back to you some of the important spiritual insights that I have gained from my time here. Now, these past 3 years have been so full that my original list of insights was going to be entitled 20 Profound Spiritual Lessons You Have Taught Me. But my wife Melinda said, that's way too many. I don't care if it's your last sermon. So I said, okay, how about 10? 10's a good round, strong number, like my 10 commandments. No, still too many, she said. 5? I bargained. 3. She said, get it down to 3. So 3 it is. A trinity of spiritual insights, if you will, that you have revealed to me and I now offer back to you. Number 1. Come in close. A few years ago, I called one of you into my office for a get-to-know-you conversation. I hadn't yet been here a year and was still getting a feel for the people of this place. And before I could even begin the conversation, this woman sat down, looked me straight in the eye, and said, you're in a funny position, you know. You're like the boyfriend we know we're not going to marry. Needless to say, this threw me off my guard a little bit. So I tried to laugh it off, and I asked her to explain, and what she went on to articulate was exactly what I needed to hear at that point in my ministry with you, which was that there was a choice to be made, that both I and the community were going to have to make. knowing that there would be an end to this relationship, would we let the reality of that end diminish the time we have together, keep us at a distance, keep us from trusting each other and letting each other in? Because you see, some priests and some people, for that matter, remain at a spiritual and emotional remove from others because it's easier that way. It's less painful when the time comes to end. And the endings always come, no matter what we try to do. So people hold others at an arm's length to protect themselves. I chose to come in close, and you did too. And for that I thank you. Because it is when you come in close that the richness of relationship is revealed. That the wonderful miracle that each one of you is comes to the surface. It is when you come in close that God is palpable and real. That's what God did, after all. He came close to humanity in Jesus Christ, getting right up into the messiness and the drama and the difficulty and the laughter and the pain, and he revealed that right there, in the fullness of our humanity, there too was to be found the fullness of God. To come in close can be uncomfortable, it can be unnerving, it can swell your heart with happiness, and it can crush it with pain. I feel so lucky to have been able to rejoice with you when it was time to rejoice. And God, do I still miss those faces I no longer see in these pews. But through it all, the ups and the downs, right in the thick of the reality of our human condition, that's where God was to be found. And you welcomed me into that place in your lives and in your hearts. And in so doing, you revealed to me the face of Christ. And it is what has made leaving so, so hard. And it is what made these last 3 years so, so rich. Number two, open your eyes. Sometimes when I need to clear my head or get a breath of fresh air, I like to walk along the back edge of the St. John's property out here and look through the thicket of trees and out across the tall reeds and winding creek of Home Meadow. One morning I was doing that, and one of you, an artist, who happened to be in early to help out at church that day, came and stood next to me. I sheepishly told him what I was doing, and he stayed and stared out with me. And after a minute or two, he said, "I'm loving the light on that tree right there. If I was going to paint this, that's what I would try to capture." And then he walked away. I followed where his finger had pointed and suddenly saw this old angled tree on the hillside aflame in the warm golden light of the sunrise. In that moment, I remember thinking that this man looked at the world and saw things I literally did not even see. Beautiful things, wonderful things. And he showed them to me. Open your eyes. God is moving all around, and most of the time, we don't even know how to see him. I've tried to help point him out along the way as we have gone together, but just as often, you have pointed him out to me as well. Teaching me to see the world more fully, to see God more clearly in my life and in our life together. To open your eyes this way takes practice and a certain level of commitment. Time spent in prayer, concentrated, focused conversation with God is a good place to start. So too, reading the Bible, a resource of revelation for thousands of years and to billions of people. And then there's the need to stretch outside your comfort zone, putting yourselves in situations and in places with people who look differently, act differently, think differently from you, so as to more fully open your eyes and your hearts to the beauty and diversity of this world. There is so much more to this world, there is so much more to God than we even know. To open our eyes is to recognize that we do not see all there is to see, that even our most firmly held convictions should be scrutinized in the name of fuller and deeper understanding. God is more. You've heard me say that before, and you've shown it to be true again and again. He is so much more than we could ever conceive. Do not shut the door and draw the curtain. Do not close off your eyes and your hearts from the world, especially from those in the world who have something to teach you, and especially from those in the world who need you, for they are often the same thing. Look for the glory of God hiding in plain sight, the light of Christ shimmering on the trunk of a tree or in the eye of your neighbor, just waiting to be seen. Number three, surround yourself with good people. A funny thing started happening these last few weeks. Tim and I started dressing the same. Now you may be saying, don't you always dress the same? With a black shirt and a white collar? But then our pants started matching. And then even on the days where we didn't wear our clericals, our shirts matched as well. This happened a few times recently. And as funny as this was, it underscored the truth that who you spend time with is who you become. I think our twinning was emblematic of the impact that you, Tim, have had on me. I have been beyond lucky to have you as my first boss, a priest of the highest caliber that I was able to learn from and emulate. Your liturgical style, your fashion sense, apparently. Your humor, your calming presence, your leadership, and your generosity have not just taught me a lot, they have molded me and shaped me. I am the priest I am because of you. And the priest that I become will be in large part because of you as well. And I have been even luckier that you have embraced my family just as fully, if not more so. It has been a blessing to work with you and to call you my friend. But before I go, there is one thing I want to make sure everybody is clear about. On July 4th, 2018, I, Noah Van Neel, 230-pound retired college fullback, beat Timothy E. Skank in the Hingham 4th of July road race. Thank you. I almost died.
Hold on. You know, if I had known that you were going to spend my entire sabbatical training, I never would have left.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda, Tim. But seriously, I hope you all know how fast I am. No, I hope you all know how lucky you are in your rector. And in your whole staff, for that matter. Buffy is a musician and human being of utmost quality. Alexis has done wonders for the biggest ministry in this entire church, the Sunday school. Father Robert is a pastor par excellence. Evelyn is one of the most capable parish administrators you will find. And Dorothy may be the most incredible sexton in the history of Christendom. It has been a joy and a privilege to work alongside them. But even the many hours we have spent together in this place do not outweigh the person I spend the majority of my time with. Being the wife of a priest is a funny job. Rarely is your spouse so intertwined in your professional life. I enjoy it that way, but it's not always easy. And in this endeavor, I could have asked for no better partner and friend than my wife, Melinda. It has delighted me beyond measure that you all got to benefit from the glorious beauty of her voice. And what you may not realize is that you have also benefited from the fact that for every single Sunday sermon I have ever given, she has served as editor-in-chief. She hears the rough copies, the half-formed ideas, the over-embellished prose, and she never fails to draw out of me exactly what I am trying to say and pushes me to go deeper and to say it better. If anything I have said from this pulpit these last few years has resonated with you, you have her to thank for it. I've also had the privilege to be surrounded for much of my time here by the amazing youth of this congregation. What a joy that has been. To my middle school and high schoolers who are here today, I want you to know I think you're pretty awesome. I want you to know that God loves you. And I want you to know that through it all, your relationship with God and with the church is there to comfort and strengthen and guide you throughout your life. If who you spend your time with is who you become, spend time with good and faithful people. And most of all, spend time with God. Because that will call forth from you the best that you have to offer as you go through this life. And I say the same to you adults as well. Come to church. Spend time on your faith. Surround yourself with God, with Jesus, and with one another. Once in a while just isn't enough. God wants you. The church needs you. For it is in communities, in communion with God, that we are transformed and through us this world is reborn. Communities of faith like St. John's aren't perfect, but they are places to learn and grow and be shaped by the Spirit. They are places to practice graciousness, to be vulnerable and to ask for help, to experience forgiveness, to exercise patience, and to dream impossible dreams and wonder and work together for what might be. And above all, they are places to give and receive love. Love, that great gift of God's very substance, is rooted here. And love withers in the abstract. It evaporates in isolation. It needs a place to be practiced and enacted, and that's what we do. So show up for one another and show up for God, and it will call forth the best from you today in all the days to come. So there you have it. These are my messages I want to leave you with. Come in close, open your eyes, and surround yourself with good people, because who you spend your time with is who you become. If I had to summarize this another way, it would be this, that as you continue on this journey of faith, striving with all your heart and mind and body and soul to love God and to love your neighbor, know that those aren't actually two separate commandments. That as you come in close to your fellow human beings, you will find God at the heart of those relationships. That as you open your eyes to the working of God all around, you will be drawn out of yourself to show others and be shown by others the Spirit of God, living and active and true. And that as you surround yourself with good people by participating in the community committed to living into this dynamic trinity of relationship, you and God and your neighbor, you will be so grounded in love and peace that as you spend time there, you just might glimpse the kingdom of God. And now it's time to say goodbye. Experts will tell you that the first 3 years of a child's life are the most important. In those early years, the furrows of learning and personality are plowed into the brain with such speed and intensity that it is a wonder to behold. They learn the right words to say, the right way to move their hands, how to listen, how to behave, and how to think. Just as importantly, they learn to form relationships and make connections with people and things in their environment, and they establish at that young age a foundation of trust and empathy and security that studies have shown will stand them in good stead for successful development the rest of their life. That is why they tell parents that giving your child a foundation of love and support in those first few years is so critical, for it will form the core of their identity and impact, more than anything else, the kind of person they turn out to be. I have experienced this very process here in these 3 years as your priest. When we arrived here in June of 2015, I was neither a father nor a father. And over the course of these years, you have molded and shaped, you have imprinted on me as a community of love and care and faith in a way that I cannot help but carry with me the rest of my life. Nowhere I serve will have a more transformative effect on me than St. John's has. And lucky for me, unlike an infant, I get to remember these moments for the rest of my life. Other floors will be built upon this foundation, but you all have claimed the cornerstone. And for that I am grateful and blessed, and it means that I will never, ever forget you or stop caring about you, because you journey with me not just in my mind's eye, but in the very core of my soul. My friends, thank you. These have been some incredible years, and I will miss you more than you may even know. May God be with you. May Jesus bless you. May the Holy Spirit guide you. I love you. Amen.